جی بسم الله القدير میں کا زبان عاشق الہی میرتی ہی روت دس کتاب ان ہی شیخ حضرت مولانا خلیل احمد سہارنپوری صاحب رحمت اللہ علی تو دے سے دیکھ if we don't have the مشائخ in our midst we must read the kitabs it will benefit us. So I'm going to continue from where we were reading. This was when Maulana Khalil Ahmad Saharanpuri Sahab Rahmatullah Ali went for Hajj. He stayed with Haji Imdadullah Sahab, Majir Makki Rahmatullah Ali. That time Haji Sahab was already in Makkah Mukarramah. So he stayed there and he performed his Hajj. So upon the completion of Hajj, now the norm was to go away to Madina Munawwara now. Right? Today's time, most of our South Africans, we go Madina Munawwara first, then go for Hajj. There's nothing wrong with that. Some go for Hajj first, then they go to Madina Munawwara. So what happened now was, at that time, the road was not safe. People's lives and possessions were in danger. There were a lot of bandits, a lot of robberies taking place. They were stealing from the people, killing the people. So, Ala Hazrat, Mawa Khalil Ahmad now, he's explaining. He's saying, Ala Hazrat, meaning Haji Imdadullah Sahab, said to me that, Maulvi Khalil Ahmad, tell me, what have you decided? I heard that the road to Madina Munawwara is not safe. Many of the Hajis are therefore returning home without going to Madina Munawwara. He said, this year they're not going to go because now so many people are getting robbed, people are getting killed. He said, we're not going to go to Madina Munawwara. So Maulana Khalil Ahmad replied, he said, Hazrat, I have already made a firm niyat of going to Madina Munawwara. The time of death, which is predestined, cannot be deferred. If my death comes to me on this road, I will be most fortunate. What more can a Muslim ask for? Through His grace, Allah Ta'ala brought me till here. If I abandon the journey to Madina Munawwara out of fear for death, who can be more unfortunate than me? This is Iman. Right? It's easy to talk about Iman. But to truly have that iman, that yaqeen, when the test is there now, you're in front. And now the masail are also there. Fatawa are there, the masail are there. It's not faraz to go to Madina Munawwara. It's not part of the manasik of Hajj. And now it's dangerous. Don't put yourself into danger. Why are you putting yourself into problems and all that? All that masail are there. But the person has got iman, has got yaqeen, and has got love. Now he looks at things differently. You know. He is, now if I go there, I'm on my way to Madina Munawwara and they kill me, now what better I can ask? I became shaheed on my way to Madina Munawwara. What more I can ask? So on hearing this, you say, Haji Imdadullah Sahab, Haji Makki Rahmatullah Ali, his face beamed with joy. Right? And he said to him, Bas, I am also of the same view. You must certainly go. Inshallah, you will reach. So I bid farewell to Ala Hazrat, meaning Haji Imdadullah Sahab, and I departed. My heart alone knows with what absolute peace and comfort I reached Madina Munawwara. I remained there for about 2 weeks and then returned home safely. When I went home, the first thing I did was I went and presented myself before Hazrat Imam Rabbani, meaning Hazrat Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Sahab Rahmatullahi. So upon his return from Hajj, Hazrat Mini Mawakharin Ahmad, he did not intend returning to Bhopal. See, before he went for Hajj, he was teaching in Bhopal. But his health, he was just not settling there. A and him were not jadding, you know. So he didn't have near to go back to Bhopal. Right? And it was also very far from his sheikh. He wanted to be closer to Maa Gangoi Sahib. So he spent a few days at home. And in Jamadul Ula, 1294 Hijri, he departed for Sikandarabad, which was a district in Bulandeshar, where he started teaching in Madrasa Islamia, which was based in the Jamia Masjid. However, some of the bidatis, those engrossed in bid'at, they became very antagonistic towards him, you know. He informed Hazrat Gangoi Rahmatullah Ali about this, and he expressed his intention to leave. However, Hazrat Gangoi stopped him, and Hazrat Gangoi sent him the following letter. Maulvi Khalil Ahmad, may Allah Ta'ala extend his blessings upon you. This is the words of the letter now. The Sheikh is writing to the Murid now. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I received your letter and learnt of your condition. You should not become alarmed by this new development. You will get friends and foes in this world. There will be people that are your friends. There will be people who are your enemies. Right? But you must continue with your work. If your foes are antagonistic towards you, your friends are there to support you. As far as possible, you should not leave of your own accord. On your own accord, don't leave. It is permissible to receive gifts from children and from the inheritors of children. There is no harm in this. Probably he asked this question in a previous letter. So, he's getting an answer. I had forgotten to write this in the previous letter. That is all. If you feel it appropriate to remove this complaint of Mir Qadir Ali, do it through someone verbally, even if it is of no benefit. It is better to please everyone from your side. Perhaps it will be of some benefit. Allah Ta'ala says, it was solely out of Allah Ta'ala's mercy that you were soft-hearted to them. Allah Ta'ala is speaking about Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ. However, it is not expected to please this group, especially when their lecturers go around inciting them. In other words, don't go out of your way to please the bidatis, because their scholars go around inciting them to all this bid'at and to be against the ulama-e haq and all that. So, don't think now, no, if I do this, I'll make them happy. If I do that, no. Be good to everybody. Don't compromise your principles. Don't bend your principles to please people. Don't do that. You be good with people, you show good akhlaq. But you don't have to bend your principles. You don't have to Acting under the instruction of his sheikh, Hazrat Maulana Khalil Ahmad Saharampuri Sahib Rahmatullah Ali cancelled his intention of returning home. He adopted a more soft and affectionate approach, and he remained engrossed in his teaching. However, the people of Sikandarabad were not destined to benefit from his barakat. Certain conditions prevented him from continuing there. He eventually resigned and returned to his hometown after obtaining the permission of Hazrat Gangoi Rahmatullah Ali. It was in the month of Shawwal that a caravan of elders of India made the intention of going to Baytullah. No such caravan from India went in the past, nor was it expected for any similar caravan to go from India in the future. Now, who was in this Jamaat now that was going for Umrah? So the Amir was Imam-e-Rabbani, Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangoi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. Then was Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Qasim Nanoti Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. So the giants now, you know. Numerous other Muslims who heard of this caravan all joined in. Hazrat's Ustad Maulana Muhammad Mazhar Sahib, his uncle Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Yaqub Sahib, Maulana Rafiuddin Sahib, the principal of Deoband, and Maulana Mahmudul Hasan Sahib also joined in. It seemed as if India became empty of the Ahlullah. This was a jamaat of all senior ulama now. They are going, nobody left here in India now. Hazrat also had a yearning to join this jamaat, this party of Ahlullah. However, he had just returned from Hajj a few months ago. Furthermore, because he could not make arrangements for the journey, Hazrat Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali did not permit him to join them. Hazrat was content with the decree of Allah Ta'ala and he remained at home, saddened by the departure of these elders. This did not permit him to go anywhere to start any other khidmat. The above mentioned elders returned to India in Rabiul Awwal 1295 Hijri. The Noor which had traversed the oceans and left India in darkness returned, and it seemed as though Saharanpur was given a new life. Maulvi Shamsuddin Sahib, the chief judge of Bahawalpur, sent a request to Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Yaqub Sahib in Deoband, asking him for an ustad. We require one capable ustad. He had laid down many conditions for such an ustad. He must be young, must be intelligent, must be an expert in all the subjects, he must be pleasant, he must be approachable, he must be an organized person so that he can instruct the students, he must be one who is an alim, who is making amal on his knowledge. And he must be an embodiment of rectitude so that the students can learn the lessons of piety merely by looking at him. However, Hazrat Maulana Yaqub Sahib was gone for Hajj at that time. So when he returned and he started seeing through his letters and the affairs of the madrasa, he saw this request. But then he requested Hazrat Maulana Khalil Ahmad Sahib, you go to Bahawalpur and start teaching there. Hazrat used to say to us, I excused myself on the basis that the conditions which are laid down are most certainly not found in me. So all these things must be present, must be a master in all the fields. So all those things are not in me, so I can't go for this post. But Hazrat Maulana said to me, Mia, leave that excuse aside, because people are in the habit of merely writing down all these conditions. And people of knowledge also, they think of themselves to be unworthy. One side, the people, when they write in condition, they write such high, high conditions. And the other side, the people of ilm, they consider themselves unworthy. You are seeing your non-qualification here because you think that some very great responsibility is being demanded. When you go out, you will not even find anyone like this. Nobody that can fit this bill. Get rid of such fears. Place your trust in Allah Ta'ala and go. And this is how it should be when we are making khidmat of deen. Because in reality, we are not making the khidmat. Allah Ta'ala is taking the khidmat. So when Allah Ta'ala puts you in a situation, the task seems daunting. The task seems daunting. How are you going to manage this thing? How are you going to run this thing? How are you going to teach this kitab? How are you going to... You just trust in Allah Ta'ala, right? And Allah Ta'ala will make it easy. Allah Ta'ala makes it easy. Eventually, Hazrat Maulana and Hazrat Imam Rabbani, meaning Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, both concurred that I must go. It was agreed for me to receive 30 rupees per month as an ustad. 30 rupees. I departed for Bahawalpur. Obviously, 30 rupees, you can't compare it with 30 rupees today. There was a time, if we just turn the clock about 45 years, right, in our country, you could buy a brand new car, not a Toyota, we're talking about a big car now, solid car, you know, big German car or something, for 800 rand. 800 rand, 1000 rand, brand new car, out the box. But now what it took to earn that 1000 rand, because that time the person was earning 100 rand, 150 rand. So, rental was 20 rand, 30 rand, lights is coming, 5 rand, water is coming. So, this is a game. Right? Money is a game. They play with you. Money got no value. Gold got value. Silver got value. Money is a game. Your salary goes up. Which, hey, I'm earning so much of money now. But your expenses go up. The price of things go up. So it comes to the same thing. The man who was earning 2,000 rand 30 years ago, today, if he's earning 20,000 rand, is the same thing. It's still the same thing. They just play with the numbers. So he was earning 30 rupees per month. He says, I departed for Bahawalpur. On 5th of Dhul-Qa'dah, 1295 Hijri, wife passed away. Hazrat came home from Bahawalpur, spent a few days, made arrangements for his children's care, and returned to Bahawalpur. Life was different, you know. He went without his wife. The wife was staying, children. He just came home now. She passed away. He came, saw to the children a little bit, made arrangements. Now who's going to look after them, this, that. Sorted out whatever needed to be sorted out. Couple days, went back, carried on his teaching. Today we become very soft and we made our children too so soft. We can't handle any test, any time. Not that we must ask for it. Mustn't ask me. But today, somebody passed away, now the person is on antidepressants. Some problem is going through, now finish, now commit suicide. Some problem is going through, now finish, I can't handle life anymore now. All this pressure, that pressure. No. You trust in Allah Ta'ala, put your head down, carry on your work. The journey is carrying on, moving. This morning, somebody sent me one message. Mahmood Ghaznavi Rahmatullahi, he told Ayaz, slave Ayaz, he said, I want you to write something for me on this ring. If I'm happy and I look at it, it must bring my happiness down, you know. I mustn't get too happy now, it must bring some sadness. If I'm sad and I look at it, then the sadness must get less, some happiness must come. The sadness mustn't make me so down in a depression. So Ayaz wrote, this moment will pass. So every moment is going to pass. We're going through difficult times, this moment is going to pass. We're going through very happy times, this moment will pass. Hazrat Abdullah Majda Sahib, Namul Barakatu, he always says, if you're looking for only happiness, you look in the wrong place. That's in Jannah. You're looking for only sadness and grief, that you're looking in the wrong place. That's in Jannah. The dunya is a mixture of both. Dunya is a mixture. Sometimes there'll be happiness, sometimes there's sadness, sometimes things are going right, sometimes up, down, which, you know, dunya is the mixture of it. It was during his stay in Bahawalpur. The other thing with women, right? Women have become so influenced with the Western culture that they actually think certain things are owed to them. A holiday is owed to them. You see, a lady, her place is at home. Her place is at home. She's not supposed to leave the house. She stays at home. She only comes out for zarurat. For a necessity, she comes out. But explain that to our South African woman. They can't understand that concept. A man will go out. He needs to go in Jamaat, he'll go. He needs to go for program, he'll go. He needs to go Khanka, he'll go. He needs to go in Jihad, he'll go. He needs to go earn some money, he'll go. His work is outside. The lady, her work is at home. Right? So the husband, I'm not saying you must live this life, right? We don't need any more marital cases on our table. I'm just explaining to you that this is a weakness that has crept in. Now, for example, if the husband is, because you see in deen, there's no off days and all that. You just carry on. The only time you're off is after you pass away. Then you're off now. So there's no off time and all that. This, all this off time and holiday time and weekend time and all that, there's all kuffar concepts, Western concepts. So what they do is, they make a person live for short-lived excitement. So the person works now, whole week he works, you know, Monday to Friday, he's working in the office, or Monday to Saturday if he got a business or something. Right, now, 2 o'clock, chaire, and now we're on a party now. So now, so you'll find we Muslims also are in that chakkar. On a Saturday, Asr, Maghrib, go to the masajid, you hardly anybody. They're off now. The same people who are normally paban, but now come Saturday, nobody there because it's weekend. It's become like this, that sometimes people, they invite you for program, right? Same as come for a program. So I tell them, see, it's become difficult weekdays and all that. Or maybe Saturday night, maybe program. In our town, nobody comes for program Saturday night. Now in the big towns, you will get a percentage of people who are dini conscious. They'll go on any night. Right? So now in the big towns, no matter when you have a program, it's the same group of people that attend the programs. But in the smaller towns, they tell you, stay the same on a Saturday night, nobody comes for program. Saturday night, everybody is born. Now, if you're on the outskirts of Joburg or the outskirts of Durban, Saturday night, all gone to Durban. Everybody's gone to Joburg. Everybody's gone here. Gone. So we are also in that same chakra. Right? So ladies too, they think, no. Now, whole week you're working. Now, weekend too, you're working. Whole week you're working, or you were teaching whole term. Now, holiday time too, you want to have going for program. Why? Because we got this kuffar culture in our head. Malak al Maut got no holiday time. Anytime we'll come take our life. Then we'll regret. Hey, that means yesterday I only had one day left. If only I knew yesterday that I only got one day left. So today the ladies too, then they get very upset. Balloon face, pop-up face, everything. Because now the husband, now it's holiday too, and we're doing holiday, where it came from? So there has to be some balance. You got to take out time for your family too. They got certain needs, they got certain things they need to do, whatever. You got to take out your time for those things and do their calm, whatever. You have to do all that. But at the same time, you can't allow them to bully you not to do your dini work. Because From your wives, they are those who are your enemies. From your families, they are those who are a fitna. Your children, your wealth, your children, they are a fitna. That means they are a trial to you. Now if the man within reason, say for example, the person is seeing to his family, he's seeing everything. They got food at home, they got clothes at home, they got shelter. He did take them, go visit the mother, whatever. They wanted to go see somebody passed away, they went. Somebody was sick, they went. Needed to buy something, they bought everything, right? Now, he's going for his 3 days. 3 days, Jamaat, he went. Now, next weekend, one 3 day Jamaat came to his masjid now. Now he's saying, you know what, I'm making some nusrat there. Now she said him, but you did your 3 days. Now what nusrat now? Suppose we have some fursat, not nusrat here now. So he can't get now, he can't think that, oh, I'm making zulam on her. Can't think like that, that I'm making zulam on her. But if we can't make these small, small sacrifices, how are we going to go in jihad? Time comes for jihad, there's no 3 days tashkil. So now you're going to go in jihad, sometimes the jihad may be 4 months long, 5. Take these people in Gaza now, how many years is gone, right? These people in Sham, 13, 14 years now they were fighting, right? So in between, what do you think? They were going for holiday. The wife can phone and say, now, you know what now, you didn't take me out for holiday, don't they? This Western culture, this kuffar culture has really gripped us. Even those of us who are in a dini tabqa, it's so bad that the husband actually starts feeling guilty. He actually starts feeling guilty. And the wife sometimes, what they do? You know, you haven't taken the children anyway. You haven't taken. Where do you have to take them? Where do you have to take the children? Yes, you must give them time. Give them time, make their tarbiyat, take care of their needs, whatever. But now, the wife, she herself wants to go. Now she can't tell you she wants to go. Now I say, you know, you haven't taken the children to anywhere. Gondaira che, yeah? You're getting frustrated now. You know, getting very frustrated. That, no gondaira. So they're tied up here, like, you know, they're sitting in the house all the time now. Who's like, yeah? If you're sitting in the house, what's the problem with that? That's where you're supposed to be sitting. Make shukr, Allah gave us comfortable homes. We got all the amenities in our homes. We got safety, we got food. Right? So if you're sitting in the house is safe, you got food in the house, you got clothes. So we should be making shukr to Allah Ta'ala. But now, the complaint becomes, we're not going out. That is a Western culture, but we have bought into this Western culture. We have bought into it, you know. We soaked into it. Forget the woman, we ourselves too. We too feel now, hey, we need a break. We need a break now, hey, we just need a break. Aajkal, even if Allah Ta'ala allows for a person to go for Umrah or something, I receive emails sometimes. Say, Maulana, he only wants to go for Umrah. I'm telling him that we need to take a break also. I don't want to go for Umrah now. I want a holiday. Umrah is not a holiday. I want a holiday. How our thinking is gone? Where we got this thing from? This is kuffar culture. It's not our culture. Kuffar culture. So, it was during his stay in Bawalpur that he got the opportunity of going for a second Hajj. Maulana Khalil Ahmad managed to go for a second Hajj. The most likely events which enabled him to go were these. Maulvi Shamsuddin Sahib, made the intention of going for Hajj and he wanted to take Hazrat with him because Hazrat had the responsibility of teaching his children and was also living in his house. Consequently, Maulana developed a special affinity with Hazrat Maulana Khalil Ahmad Sahib. Furthermore, he could not have found a better companion to ensure that he fulfills all the rites of Hajj in a proper manner. On the other side, Hazrat heard that Hazrat Gangohi, Maulana Rashid Ahmad Sahib, and Maulana Muhammad Yaqub Sahib were also intending to go for Hajj again this year. Right? So, in the last time, he couldn't go. Right? So, he was feeling down. Right? So, this time now, an opportunity came again, and this Maulvi Shamsuddin Sahib told him, no, I want you to come with. He considered this now a great bounty. Right? So he expressed his desire and detailed conditions in a letter to Imam Rabbani, Maulana Rashid Ahmad Sahib. And he requested, you know, like Hazrat must tell him now whether he can go or he can't go. So Maulana Rashid Ahmad wrote to him, Assalamu alaikum, kindly study the following. I received your letter and learned of your condition. Right? He is explaining his halat, whatever his halat were, spiritual condition. Because my head has become very weak, this condition of weakness remains severe from 10 o'clock to 12 o'clock. Nevertheless, the illness is almost leaving me. You may be rest assured. Then he said, if you are satisfied with Maulvi Shamsuddin's condition, and it is most probably like that, then what apprehension should there be? It is my view that you should make your niyat, but at the same time, say, take some of your own money with you. Carry some of your own money. One is, this Maulana Shamsuddin is saying he's going to take you, and he is bearing all the costs of taking you. But you also carry some of your own money, so that if Allah forbid any situation develops, you will not be dependent on anybody. Yeah. On many occasions, the person who took the responsibility of paying all the expenses passed away during the course of the journey, or differences in temperament caused them to part ways and suffer. A lot of things can happen. And this caused many problems for the person, because now he didn't have any of his own money. Now, how is he going to continue the journey? So, these are all outward plans whose adoption is not impermissible, but only what Allah Ta'ala wills shall come to pass. In other words, even though you carry your own money and everything, things can still go. One friend of mine is telling me, Maulana, we went to China for the Canton Fair. They're business people now, so they go see new products, whatever. So he went with this way. He said, now, there's a certain app you're supposed to download to be able to use your virtual card in China. Now, that thing never downloaded for some reason. And when they got there, now they couldn't use it. He said, me, Maulana, Jata paiha, meaning despite having money now, it, for 2 days we were bankrupt. Because in China, they won't take your card, they won't take your cash, they won't change your dollar, no more. You only pay with that app, finish. Everything is electronic. Telling me, Maulana, what you call that picture? That you must spend, you must scan the thing, QR code. Yeah. He said, Maulana, even the beggars got a QR code. You can't give the beggars money. You must scan the QR code. So everything is electronic. And they control you. You see, for 2 days, till they got their app thing sorted out, they were bankrupt. They had to rely on other people. They had no, couldn't transact, they couldn't buy anything, they couldn't do anything. So in Safar, a lot of things can happen. Sometimes you made all your booking, everything. You go there to the hotel now in Makkah, Mukarramah, Madinah. They say, we haven't got your booking yet. Your agent didn't pay. Now you're sitting making Maghrib Mari there. This is all the trials of Safar. So he's saying, but you see, you must tie your camel. After that, if Allah Ta'ala wants to test a person, nothing can avert the test. But from your side, your camel must be tied. You must do everything from your side properly. Now listen about me. Hajj is not farz on me to the extent that I should become needlessly restless. Yes, there is the desire in the heart to do good. But physical weakness is accompanied with weakness in courage. When you're sick, you don't have that much of himmat. I therefore cannot say anything. If I develop the courage at the appropriate time and I also possess the means, then it will not be surprising for me to come as well. However, there seems no possibility at present, and I have not resolved to go as yet. There are many rumors. People are saying I'm going, but from my side, there's no ukhta irada that I am going. Right? I do not know about Maulvi Muhammad Yaqub Saab's intention. Yes, I have definitely heard that your mother, sister, and the wife of Maulvi Saab have made intention to go. I have heard about your monetary loss. Allah Ta'ala will bless you with much more. If you do not say anything evil about the thief, it will be better because you shall receive the full reward. So there's probably some theft that took place, etc., which is giving him some nasihat on that. Something here I wanted to mention to you. So, a beautiful thing that Mona Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Sahib mentions here. He says that Hajj is not farz on me. Hajj is not farz on me. So, there is no need for me to become restless that I need to go for Hajj. If Hajj is farz on me, then now I need to be restless. Right. So in this environment or this situation that we are living in now, right, where there is a quota system and you have to apply to the body that's in charge of the hujjaj from the country, you have to apply to them, put your name on a system, and then when you get accredited, you get accredited, you know. So when there is that kind of a system in place, then there is no need for anybody to get restless. Right? You followed all the protocols. Right? You have made your application. You put your name. You are saving your money. You're making dua to Allah Ta'ala. Now, when Allah Ta'ala makes it possible, you will go. Right? Then you get the other jamaat that want to go by hook or by crook. And most of the time it's by crook, not by hook. So they want to go. So now what they do, they get some tourist visa or some business visa or something, and then they ducking from the officials, and they going, ducking, diving, watching over their shoulder. Some people are getting caught, they're getting sent back. Some people are slipping through the net all the time. They're watching now. Officials mustn't catch us. Jumping from here, jumping from there, whatever. Now, if they have already made Hajj, because generally these are the class of people that are super wealthy, right? They finished dua hajj. Hajj is not faraz on them. Why are they getting so restless and going to all these lengths to go and make nafal hajj? And then you get the others who hajj is not faraz on them, but they are trying to get these visas which were supposed to be given for free. You see, the X amount of visas are given to the embassy, right? So the embassy is supposed to give those visas for free. That's what it's supposed to be originally. So now the people in the embassy, where do they mix with the public? They don't really know. Their circle is very small, right? So they don't really know now who's worthy of these visas. So what they do now, they know this agent, because this agent comes here with everybody's passports, that agent comes here. So they used to give those agents, or they ask those agents, hey, Baba, who must you give these things to? So the agent said, alright, there's one muazzin there, there's one somebody there, there's one person there, one elderly man there. And they used to get those visas, they were complimentary visas. But then the capitalist mind took over. You know, there's money to be made there. So those visas, the agents started sending them. Then the people in the embassy, they too got sharp. Now if they can sell and they're making money, then we too can sell. So they started selling. Who is making the big cuts and all that, only Allah Ta'ala knows. Right, and who's getting those, who's can afford those visas? Because it's very expensive. Right? Now say for example, a person got the money. I'm not saying must do it. I'm saying a person got the money and Hajj is faraz on him. Right? And he can get one of those visas and he can go for Hajj. Legally, properly he can get a visa. Maybe he has to pay a little bit before he can go. So for him we say, okay, Hajj is faraz on him now, so he's going that route. But most of the people that go that route, Hajj is not faraz on them. They're going year in, year out, they got a clique of friends, they got their contact there, where they're getting those visas, they're paying top dollar for it, and they take their crew and they go, year in, year out. Right? They won't even think, alright, you know what, let's take these visas here, let's organize it for people upon whom Hajj is faraz. And let them go for their Hajj. But here, that's just our opinion. Other people may look at it differently. Maybe they got so much of love for Baytullah and for the Ibadat of Hajj that they feel, Allah give us the money, we prepare to spend whatever it is and go and all that. So, I don't know what's the fatwas and everything. But personally, I feel that you already made your Hajj. Not faraz on you. If this visa can help somebody who upon whom Hajj is faraz, rather let them go. Let them go and make their faraz hajj. Ji. So, Maulana Maulvi Nazir Ahmad Sahab, Assalamu Alaikum. Although the titles of respect which you add to my name are out of your respect and your confidence in me, they cause me much remorse. Who's saying this? Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Sahab is writing to Maulana Nazir Ahmad Sahab, not Maulana Khalil Ahmad Sahab, Maulana Nazir Ahmad Sahab. He says, although the titles of respect which you add to my name are out of your respect and your confidence in me, but they cause me much remorse. I also prohibited Maulvi Khalil Ahmad on several occasions from attaching lofty titles to my name. The best words are those which are in accordance with one's status. Imagine their humility, right? Their tawazu, their humility. It is widely rumored over here that Maulvi Nazir Ahmad is going to go for Hajj with his mother. No one spoke about Maulvi Muhammad Yaqub Sahib going for Hajj. Saturday was also confirmed as the first of Shaban over here. It is raining profusely here. That is all, Rashid Ahmad. Yeah. So this was the a letter showing that he doesn't know anything about Maulana Muhammad Yaqub Sahib going for Hajj. So from this letter, Hazrat got the hope that his mother and sister will certainly go for Hajj with his brother, Maulvi Nazir Ahmad Sahib. He will be the mahram. And it is expected for Imam Rabbani, Maulana Rashid Ahmad Sahib, also to go. Furthermore, the unseen help of Allah Ta'ala came to Maulana Khalil Ahmad in that Maulana Shamsuddin said he'll pay all his expenses and take him. Hazrat made preparations for Hajj. He appointed Maulana Altaful Rahman to come and teach in his place. Right? Now, this Maulana Altaful Rahman was the nephew of Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Sahib. Right? And he sent repeated requests to his sheikh to also make a firm intention so that they can be blessed with his sohbat on this journey. And you also make niyat and come. Although Hajj was decreed for Hazrat, but the companionship of his sheikh was not decreed as yet. At the exact time when all of Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Sahib's arrangements for the journey were made, Hazrat received the following notice of his decision to cancel his trip. So Maulana Khalil Ahmad Sahib, Maulana Rashid Ahmad is writing to Maulana Khalil Ahmad Sahib, saying, I received your uninterrupted letters, and from your last letter I also learned that Maulvi Altaful Rahman has reached there safely. Everything is well here and my condition is normal. Although I had doubts about my traveling for Hajj in the beginning, my present condition is inclined to think that I would most likely not travel. Initially I was doubting, but now I think I won't travel. I learned from experience that if I do not sleep for a while in the afternoon, meaning Qaylula, I feel restless. If my food happened to be disagreeable to me, I feel the effects of this till the next day. If I have to remain awake at night, I get a headache. Similarly, any other small changes in my routine are causing me to become restless. And this was in his old age. Right? And from this also we must learn that the old people, as far as possible, mustn't alter their routine. You see, sometimes you get these families, right? Now they got a mother or a father who's old. Now one side, nobody wants to take the responsibility of looking after them. Other side, nobody wants to look guilty. Right? So now what do you say? Alright, Daddy, you stay 2 months there by Ibrahim bhai. And then you come stay 2 months by Musa bhai, and then you come stay 2 months by Ahmad bhai. Now, it's very difficult for an old person. Everywhere the bathroom is different, the toilet is different, the cooking is different, the air is different. When you're young, you don't... I remember Maulana Abdul Hamid Sahib, he mentioned in one majlis, you know, he said, when you're young, you don't feel the effects of things immediately. But as you get older, now if you just go out in the cold, immediately you'll start sneezing. You just eat something that never agree with you, immediately it will affect your stomach. You know, as you get older, you don't have that strength that you have in your younger days. So he's explaining this. So when, if Allah Ta'ala ever give us opportunity to look after elderly people, then as far as possible, must try not to alter their routine. Right? The children who want to make khidmat, they must rather come here and make khidmat, where the old person is staying. Don't expect the old person to move around, go there like a gypsy. No, they should take out the time, come and make khidmat of the old person. A man can take out 40 days of his life to go in jamaat, but he can't take out 20 days of his life to make khidmat of his father. Jamaat is, you know, 40 days. Khanqah, he must go. 40 days. But his father is not well, he can't take out 10 days to go make khidmat of the father. 20 days, he can't take out the time. Imagine a sahabi, he comes to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's asking permission to go in jihad. Right? And it wasn't a faraz jihad. If it's a faraz jihad, then it wasn't a faraz jihad. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, you got parents are there? Go make their khidmat. Go make your parents khidmat. So he says, in the light of all of this, it seems difficult for me to bear the hardships of a journey. Therefore, it seems unlikely for me to present myself before our Hazrat Murshid, me referring to Hazrat Haji Abdullah Sahib Muhajir Makki. Here, all my friends and well-wishers are advising me to remain at home. Sheikh Abdul Aziz Khan Hanuz is ill. He too does not have the courage to travel. I have thus expressed the cancellation of my intention and request you to remember me in your du'as at those Mubarak places, if you remember. Furthermore, whatever conditions you saw and heard of me, convey them to Hazrat Murshid, meaning Hazrat Haji Imdadullah Sahib Muhajir Makki, and explain my reason for not coming. If I am still living, we shall see what happens next year. We are all compelled by our destinies. What can planning achieve? End of the day, your takdir takes over, you know. That is all. Wassalam. Convey my salam and greetings to Maulvi Altaful Rahman. Also convey my salam to Maulvi Shamsuddin Sahib. So consequently, Hazrat Maulana Khalil Ahmad Sahib departed for Hajj on the 1st of October 1880, corresponding with the 25th of Shawwal 1297 Hijri. Maulana Altaful Rahman took his place, but he had so much of love for Maulana Rashid Ahmad Sahib that he could not bear this distant separation from him. Maulana Altaful Rahman, he went to Bawalpur now to teach for Maulana Khalil Ahmad Sahib. But now he couldn't bear the separation from Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Sahib. So he remained in Bawalpur for 1 month and then he returned to Gangoh. Maulana Rashid Ahmad Sahib Gangohi then sent Maulana Anwar Ahmad Sahib Ambedkar to replace him in Bawalpur. Hazrat returned 5 months later in March 1881 and he sent Maulana Anwar Ahmad Sahib back to his hometown. Hajj now takes so long, 5 months. It was during this Mubarak journey that Hazrat, meaning Hazrat Maulana Khalil Ahmad Sahib, received Khilafat from Hazrat Haji Imdadullah Sahib, Muhajir Makki Rahmatullah Ali, and Haji Sahib took his Amama, and he put it on the head of Maulana Khalil Ahmad Sahib. So, Haji Sahib is not his sheikh. Haji Sahib is his sheikh's sheikh. Haji Imdadullah Sahib is Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi's sheikh. Maulana Rashid Ahmad is Maulana Khalil Ahmad sheikh. The Dada sheikh putting his Amama